Let's look in 2 Timothy. I was reading here chapter 3 this morning and yesterday. And I was thinking this passage, it seems to break all people into two camps. It happens often. I think I've shared different times about how there's only two kinds of people. There's proud people and there's humble people. Humble people call on the name of the Lord. Proud people don't call on the name of the Lord. People that call on the name of the Lord, they receive grace. People that don't call on the name of the Lord, they don't receive grace. And this passage here goes over a few characteristics, again, of people that kind of separates two people. So let's look here, chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves." And when I read this list, I want the Holy Spirit to convict me. So let's apply it to ourselves. Let's apply it to me. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money. There's me. That was me this week. The Lord showed me. Most of you know my job is not very stable right now. And I started to become a little bit anxious because I saw that I was using my savings to live off. What kind of attitude of the heart is that? It showed me something. My hope was in the wrong thing. What should I have been doing? Giving thanks that I had savings rather than becoming anxious that I was living off my savings. Because you know what? I wanted to use those savings probably for something else than for food, to pay for a mortgage, to pay for clothes. I wanted to use it for something else. Well, I had some other motives in there. And the Lord was allowing this whole thing, all these people and all this stuff, God's sovereign over all that, to expose something in me. And boy, I tell you, when I started to give thanks, all of a sudden, that was gone. The anxiety was gone. The anxiousness was gone. The whole thing was gone. That was just one thing. He's taught me something else through this too, but I won't get into that right now. But there it was. So I want to apply this to me. Right? Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. That shows up in lots of ways. Laurel and I talk about that with our kids. You know, they're kids. They make lots of mistakes. But do I have self-control? How do I respond to them? Do I point out every mistake? Jesus wouldn't. Jesus didn't. When he looked at the churches in Revelation, he always found something that was good in those churches that needed correction. Do I have self-control not just to get frustrated or to point it out all the time, but to, in the right time, after much praise, bring that correction when needed? I need self-control. We've talked about that. We want self-control because that's going to produce fruit in our relationship with our kids in the long run. It's going to go a long ways. Brutal. People are going to be brutal, it says in the last days. Despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And that's the key right there. There's two kinds of people, and there can be two kinds of Christians. It's not just out in the world, but two kinds of people that go to God's house this morning all over Abbotsford. People are going to church. And there's two kinds of people probably sitting in almost every congregation. People that have a form of godliness, and there's people who are becoming more and more godly through the power of Jesus Christ. And I want to be one that is becoming more godly. And at times, I know for many years I had a form of godliness. People saw me as a Christian, a good guy, but I had no power. But even today, it can happen where things can come into our life and we can start to just kind of cover it up, put forth a good image, but there's an area we're struggling in. An area we don't have victory. We don't have power in that area. We need change. Are we willing to be honest? Talk to a brother. Talk to a sister. Say, can you pray with me? Turn to Mark 11. It kind of talks about this, I think. Jill brought this passage up this morning around the breakfast table. It says in Mark 11:12, it says, "Now the next day when Jesus had come out of Bethany he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves. I think that's important. This fig tree had leaves. I like gardening. I love all that kind of stuff. You ask the professional gardeners, they know. When you see the buds coming out and you see the leaves on the tree, what does that mean? There's life there. Jesus saw from afar, it was this fig tree's alive. That's what it gives the appearance of being alive. So he went over to it. And what was he wanting to find? He wanted to find fruit. But when he got there, he didn't find any because it was not the season for figs. But in our lives, we want to make sure there's always fruit, even in the difficult dry times. We know in Psalm 1, it talks about the man who's planted by that tree there, by the streams of living water. It goes down deep. Even the year of drought, it's still green, right? We know that those who are feeding off Jesus Christ are going to become like a tree that bears fruit every month of the year. It's going to be like a tree of life. We want our very life to be a tree of life for those around us, that in every month it's bearing fruit, right? It says in later on in chapter 4 in Timothy, it says that in season and out of season, we're always ready to share, always ready to give a word in due season, right? Always ready. Jesus came, he found this fig tree. It looked like it had life. It had a form of godliness. But when he got closer, there was no figs. In response, Jesus said to it, verse 14, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. "Let no one eat fruit ever again." Then he went into the temple and he cleansed the natural temple. And today, this is the temple. Right here it says, "You are the temple of God if the Spirit of God dwells in you." This is the temple he wants to clean. He wants to give us clean hearts. When we see the unforgiveness, when we see the lack of self-control, and we see the unthankfulness, or whatever it is for you, that's what he wants to cleanse. Right? And then, after he did that, he brought him back to the fig tree. And there's a lesson here for us today. Verse 20, it says, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they," that is the disciples, "saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." This is a miracle, because trees don't dry up from the roots. Trees don't dry up from the roots. When I see it's hot in the middle of summer, what do I notice on the hydrangea? The leaves, they're getting brown. The edges of them, my tree, I can see the leaves are starting to dry up and get dry. What does that mean? It needs water. It's not dead yet. It starts on the leaves, not at the roots. But when Jesus cursed it, it died up from the roots. He can deal with the root of the issue in our hearts and our lives. He doesn't just deal with the outside. He wants to get to the root of the issue. And it says here, "And Peter, remembering," verse 21, "said, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Have faith in God.'" Here is our solution. How many of you right now, in your heart before God, know there's an area of your life where you feel like there's no change, you need change? If that's you, and if we're honest, let's be honest. When we read that passage, is there any area where we're like, really, I need more change there? It's all of us. We need faith in God. Here's the victory, right here. "For assuredly," verse 23, "I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Whatever he says. That's the area in our life. Maybe it's the area that we haven't seen change in for months. Maybe it's years. Maybe it's actually looking like a mountain to you. It looks like it's impossible. It's not impossible. Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated death. There's no greater enemy. He can help us with every area if we're just willing to acknowledge, and then we need to believe. And you know what? He's not expecting a lot of faith. He's expecting a mustard seed. That's all we need, is a mustard seed. And we all have a mustard seed. With that mustard seed of faith, right, we need to believe that when we call on his name, maybe we share with a brother or sister and we pray together and we say, "Jesus, this is not your will for my life." Right? There needs to be fruit in this area. He'll bring it to pass. Verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." You will have them, whatever area you may be. I'm just going to finish off with these last two verses. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. And if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So as we're there praying over this unthankfulness, over this whatever it might be for you, let's make sure we've forgiven everyone, because I think that's part of it. And then we need a mustard seed, and he'll help us. And when he deals with the problem, it's not going to be just killing the leaves. It's going to be at the root of the issue. He's going to deal with it from the root so that the mountain can be moved right out of the way. All of a sudden, we don't have to be that way that we're struggling with. He can help us, right? Whatever it might be for you. But let's not be putting on just a form of godliness. Yeah, I did that for years. Years ago I did that, but today I can do the same thing. I don't want to be that way. I want the power of God in my life. That's what Paul said. You're not going to know my word, but you're going to know the power. You're going to know the power of his life. Is that what people see when they're around you? Do they see the character of Christ shining through? That is the key. That is the power of God in one's life. When they see his fruit and his character in the midst of the tests and the trials. He's not going to take all the tests and the trials away, but when they come, do they see the fruit and the character of Christ in your life, even in the dry times? That's what the power of God can do for us.